Questions for the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while we don't have a complete solution to the issue yet, MnDOT Aeronautics is talking to the fiscal folks and coming up with a solution. They just took different approaches in how they calculated the gallons burnt by business aviation in comparison to the airlines themselves. So that's where the kink came in the process here. Been assured that by the end of today they will have a fiscal analysis done on the bill, and we will have that for Finance Committee if you're willing to pass it out of this committee and move it on to Finance. If I've been assured that the adjustments can be made if it comes in at $200,000 or $300,000, that they'll take a look at that maximum takeoff weight categories and make adjustments within that to fill in that gap that we're going to have. So if nothing can be done, if we can't find a resolution to that in Finance, we can make the adjustments through an amendment of some form.
Thank you, Senator Gimsey. I know you've brought an awful lot of folks to the table to work through a compromise that everyone can live with. You've done an incredible job of that. There's maybe just a little bit of fine-tuning left to go, and we want to encourage you to continue with that process. Hopefully you can work this out between now and Finance. I know Senator Rest has moved that this bill be recommended, and Senator Rest?
No, Madam Chair, I support that provision, but I...
Oh, I'm sorry.
The cuts to transit are not anything I can support, and I respectfully will have to vote no, and I want to ask for a roll call.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move this bill, Senate file.
898.
Senator, recommended pass and move to Finance.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. A roll call has been requested by Senator Rust, and we're going to make sure that folks are on their way. I can see it's a bipartisan issue. We will take a vote, Senator Gimsey, as soon as we have enough folks in the room. Other amendments in the meantime while we wait for folks to arrive for this vote? If we could return to Senate File 27, other amendments that folks are aware of. And hopefully get an update on where folks are at. The clerk will take the roll. Senator Rest? clerk will take the roll.
Chair Ortman?
Yes.
Senator Bach?
No.
Senator Chamberlain?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Howe? Pass. Senator Limmer? Senator Marty? Pass. Senator Michelle?
Yes.
Senator Pogamiller?
Nope.
Senator Rest?
No.
Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
Yes.
And Senator Skoy?
No.
There being six yeses and four noes, the motion is adopted, and Senate File 898 is on its way to finance. Good luck, Senator Gimsey, with working through the remainder of your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
I didn't do the crossword, but I did the Sudoku, which was a
I might have actually accidentally stolen it.
You're not supposed to be sitting here doing stuff with the newspaper during session.
Jeff Michelle said the decision.
Yeah, we passed it.
You want to reconsider?
No.
You want to reconsider, John? Other amendments for this for Senate File 27, members. They're all in order at this time. Senator Chamberlain.
Madam Chair, if I could, I'd like to bring back A7. Is council ready for it? Maybe not.
A7 amendment.
The other pieces being added.
Okay.
Right now.
I'm sorry. We can wait on that.
Members, if there are no other amendments, I'll explain one of the amendments that I will offer. As soon as council is returned, she'll have copies of an amendment that deals with the final closeout in terms of our targets relating to the cash flow and budget reserve accounts. There will be an adjustment from the cash flow and the budget reserve in order to balance to our targets, and the language will be passed out as soon as council returns. Senator Bach is looking for engraved invitations to offer amendments, and so I've engraved one, I've mailed it, and now Senator Bach is going to offer an amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't aware we had gotten to Article 6, but Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A5 amendment. I think I have a handout for the committee also on it. It's in your packet, I guess.
Hand handout, Senator Bach? What does it look like?
Madam Chair, there's two handouts. One is from an email to me on the 23rd from Craig Pagel, who is the president of the Iron Mining Association. And I can probably just read it for the committee. It's from Mr. Pagel, 7:27 p.m. on the 23rd of March. He said, it has come to my attention the Senate tax bill contains language removing the taconite production tax escalator. The Iron Mining Association at this time does not support that language, nor did we request it. I would testify to that point if I were in St. Paul, but unable to attend due to a hearing in Virginia, Minnesota. So, Madam Chair, the A5 amendment that I'd like to move reinstates the implicit price deflator on the taconite tax on page 71, lines 27 to 33. And if I could speak to it, Madam Chair, the effect of the language in the bill actually freezes taconite taxes permanently going forward. We don't do that anywhere else in this state. I'm not proposing to do that on anybody else's commercial industrial property in their districts. And members, I just ask you to consider that the mines don't pay property taxes. They pay this production tax. So when our school districts go out for a voter-approved levy or for a capital bonding referendum, their biggest employer, their biggest piece of property is not assessed. They don't participate in paying for things like school levies, local units of government or counties. The only way that they participate is through the production tax. And freezing it is going to cause a big problem, or not freezing it, eliminating it. There have been times, many times over the last 17 years I've been here, where we've actually made a decision to freeze it for a year. And that's a decision that the range legislators make along with the mining company presidents, and we come to the legislature and ask for it to be frozen from time to time depending on the health of the industry. But I have a second handout, Madam Chair, of this graph here that shows the stock prices of both U.S. Steel and Cleveland Cliffs over the last 2 years, our two largest mining companies. They're doing really well. Matter of fact, I think Cleveland Cliffs' stock, and they were just in town from Cleveland last week, has doubled since July. And I'm very happy about that. When the mining companies are doing well, they invest money in the plants and construction trades, and vendors go to work, and the jobs are secure of the people that work in the mines, and sometimes there's even some additional hiring, and they take on maintenance they otherwise wouldn't have done. So if this industry was struggling, Madam Chair, I would be likely be the one proposing that we freeze the tax. But permanently taking the escalator out and freezing it is very, very bad for those range communities. The industry never asked for it. They don't support it. And I'd ask the committee to take it out of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Bach. And at this point, I would oppose the A5 amendment with all due respect to Senator Bach. It's not good tax policy for us to have automatic inflators of tax rates built into our law. We, as the policymakers, should be monitoring those tax rates and making positive, authoritative decisions and not leaving it to the effects of inflation. The effect of the way the bill currently stands, it will lower the taxes paid by the mining companies, but it's revenue neutral because what it will do is eliminate the 30.1 cents per ton taconite economic development fund rebate program. And the Minnesota Taxpayers Association report from 2004 that says that requiring them to pay that in order to receive it back as a rebate is also not a good tax policy. And so, members, I would hope that you would oppose the A5 amendment.
Madam Chair, I'm not making any reference to the investment tax credit program. I'm just, you know, if a mine expands and builds a whole new crusher, maybe spends hundreds of millions of dollars, in any other community where one of their commercial businesses did a major expansion and improved their property, there'd be additional property tax revenue. But that doesn't happen with the mining property because they don't pay on the assessed value of their property. So there is no way to ever get any additional revenue off of those mining companies in lieu of property taxes unless we have some kind of an inflator in the law. And, you know, members, taconite pellets today are being produced on the Iron Range for roughly about $45 a ton. They're selling on the open world market for $250 a ton on the spot market. The companies are doing really well. They haven't asked for this. The range legislators don't support. Our communities don't support it. And Madam Chair, I don't want to come to Chanhassen or your district and propose to freeze taxes on industries that you have in your district. And I think you ought to provide those of us in the north that have mines the opportunity to determine what our own level of taxation is. And we're in agreement with our employers. We're in agreement with the mines that we want to leave the implicit price deflator in law. And it's very easy to tinker around when taxes in somebody else's district when it doesn't impact you. And I know, Senator Sendrum, I checked how much property taxes the Mayo Clinic pays in Olmsted County. $10 million a year. It's certainly none of my business to freeze Mayo Clinic's taxes in Rochester, and I wouldn't even think about that. Senator Howe made the point of telling me that XL Energy in Red Wing is 34% of all the tax capacity in Red Wing. I'm not here to propose that we freeze property taxes on XL Energy in Red Wing and create some artificial cap on them in Senator Howe's district, and I don't think this committee should do it in the Senate districts in the north either. So I'd request your support.
Well, Senator Bach, with all due respect, these rates aren't imposed or set locally. They're set by Minnesota statutes, and that would involve every one of us in the policy-making decision, all those that serve here at the state capitol. And I think it is part of our responsibility to look at this and not just assume that there will be an automatic inflator. And so I hope members will oppose the A5 amendment. I do want to clarify, Senator Bach, your point that your amendment does not go so far as to affect that economic development fund. I'm guessing you may have another amendment about that, but this one is only about the inflator, and I just want to make sure folks know what they're voting on here.
I do not have another amendment on the taconite tax. This is my only one.
All right. Other questions or comments about the A5 amendment? All those in favor of the A5 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
No. The amendment is not adopted.
Division, Madam Chair.
All those in favor signify by raising your hand. All those opposed, same sign. There being six no's and five yeses, the amendment is not adopted. Other amendments on Article 6 or any other article?
Madam Chair, I have the A29.
The A29 amendment.
Madam Chair, what the A29 amendment does is the mining companies, through their production tax, do not pay the state general levy like other commercial industrial property in the state does. So there is not a payment from the mining companies as part of their production tax that goes to the state general fund. What the mines do pay that goes to the state general fund is an occupation tax. And, Madam Chair, I think if this bill has tax relief in the form of the eventually eliminating the state general levy to commercial industrial property all over the state, I think if we're going to provide business tax relief as it relates to their contribution to the general fund for commercial buildings everywhere in this state, it's only fair to provide the same kind of general fund tax relief to the mining companies. And what this amendment does is, and Madam Chair, I didn't want to do it in 2012 and 13 because I don't want to do anything to impact the committee's target, although I think there's enough money to do it. Starting in 2014, it reduces the occupation tax, which is the tax that the mining companies pay to the state's general fund, on the same kind of a schedule that we are reducing the state general tax for other commercial industrial property. So the cost of it, and this is from our Senate fiscal staff, in 2014, the mining companies are slated to pay $10 million to the state general fund in occupation taxes. So if you put that into the schedule of reductions that the other commercial industrial property are getting, that would their taxes would be reduced by 10% in 2014. So the bill would, the amendment would cost $1 million in 2014 in the form of tax relief that the mining companies would not send to the state's general fund, just like in very parallel fashion what other commercial industrial properties are going to receive. And I appreciate your support on the A29. I think it's consistent with the other language in the bill that other business property is getting.
And Senator Bach, this tax does go into the general fund, and I hear you saying that it doesn't impact our bottom line for 2012-13. Can you describe what happens with that, with line 1.8 of the amendment?
1.8.
It refers to 2012 and 2013. Is that the current law rate?
That's the current percentage, I believe. Is it, Madam Chair, or
Ms. Doff may have some information.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, maybe I misunderstood your direction. This this does begin to phase down that occupation tax rate at the same time that the statewide business tax is phased down. So there is an impact in those years.
So, Madam Chair, that wasn't my intent.
Senator Bach.
I might have not communicated my intent clear enough to counsel. But I'm not trying to blow a hole in the committee's target. I don't know if you have $2 million on the bottom line to put it into effect the same time that it'd be $1 million, the same time as the other CI properties getting relief. But if we don't have it on the bottom line, I'm sure the mining companies would appreciate it. My intent was that it takes effect in 2014 if the committee doesn't have the money.
Senator Bach, I think it's very interesting, and I think we may need to make an adjustment in order to accomplish your goal. But I think it's very interesting. We haven't really talked about this. How much did you say that it will cost over time? Do you have any fiscal analysis that you can share with us?
Well, the occupation tax actually moves around because it's calculated on the amount of payroll, the amount of sales, the amount of property that mining companies have in Minnesota, kind of like the single sales issue is. It depends on what kind of year they're having relative to production, what ore they're mining. And the cost Senate Fiscal has the numbers, but some years it actually generates zero money to the general fund. There were a number of years we thought we should have got rid of it when there was no cost. I looked at 2014, the department's numbers, and the total contribution was $10 million. And in 2015, for whatever reason, I believe I shouldn't speak for our fiscal analyst, but I think it was like $15 million in 2015. But it's interesting, over the years, sometimes it's actually zero.
Ms. Von Mosch, did you do the fiscal analysis on this proposal, if you would talk to the committee?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach. Members of the committee, I just did some really quick proportional reductions based on the rate reductions, and Senator Bach is right. In fiscal year 12 and 13, the total revenues forecasted for the occupation tax are $15 million in FY 12 and $13 million in FY 16 for $31 million total. In fiscal year 14 and 15, those numbers drop down to $10 million in 14 and $15 million in 15. So it does, in terms of our budget, it makes more sense to have the rate be frozen in the first years of the first biennium and then have it be effective in 14 with the first reduction.
And Ms. Zoff, I believe, is working on an amendment to your amendment. And here she is.
Right. Madam Chair, members, the amendment would be actually on page 1, line 8, delete 2.23 and insert 2.45, which is the current rate. And then for each of the succeeding years, we would amend each of those particular rates by substituting the rate above it so that there's a two-year delay in the decrease in the tax.
Questions, comments, members? Senator Bach, are you inclined to vote for the bill with the adjustment of tax?
Madam Chair, far be it from me to offer tax reductions for the mining company, but I just think in all fairness, other businesses are getting tax relief and from the general fund, and I think it's only fair that we include the mining companies in that along the same schedule.
Senator Bach, I speak only for myself that I'm inclined to support this. I do hope it will earn your support for this bill. I really have been working to build a bipartisan support for our best efforts here, and I would appreciate your support. But my support doesn't depend on yours.
Madam Chair, if there wasn't a minerals article, I'd probably feel a lot different about the bill.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, I agree. I think it's a fairness issue that if we're doing the rest and we do this, but I'm not really supportive of the other part either. I think in terms of consistency in the bill, this would make sense. But
and members, if it wasn't pointed out, the mines don't participate in the statewide business property tax. I don't know whether that was brought out in your what you said, Senator Bach. I was a little distracted trying to figure out what we were doing here, honestly. But and so I think this makes a lot of sense, but I speak only on my own behalf. Others that would like to speak or have questions? Senator Michelle, Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, why doesn't the mining companies participate in the statewide property tax? Is it too hard to get your hands around what is underneath the ground? I mean, is it
Senator Bach?
Well, I don't know the year, but I want to say 1941. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. The mining companies actually used to pay an ad valorem property tax, and they actually came to the legislature and did not want to pay property taxes because of the cyclical nature of their industry. You know, they're big investments, billion-dollar investments, these mining properties are. And they didn't want to pay property taxes because some years are much better than others. They came to the legislature and wanted to pay a production tax based on the tonnage that they actually produce so that their tax would essentially be equivalent to what their profitability was. Profitability, assuming there's profitability based on tonnage. And so it was actually the mining company's proposal that we get away from property taxes and go to a per-ton production tax. And I guess I don't know what the discussion was in 2001 when the statewide business tax was originated, but I know it was intended to have the business community participate when the state general ed levy was reduced, because the business community, when we took the state gen ed levy for schools off of the property tax for homeowners, there was a feeling the business community should still have to participate in funding schools. So that's how the state general tax was created. The mining companies never benefited from doing away with the state general education levy because they never paid it. So they've always been a little different.
Thank you, Senator Bach. I'm hoping that nobody in there, maybe there was somebody who was a senator back in 1941, but I'm guessing nobody goes back that far. Without further comment, all those in favor of the, we have an amendment. I'm sorry, Senator Bach, Ms. Zoff had some language to make the change so that there's no impact in 2012, 2013, and the phase-out begins in 2014. Ms. Zoff.
Madam Chair, members, the amendment would be on page 1, line 8. Delete 2.23 and insert 2.45. On line 9, delete 2.11 and insert 2.23. on line 10, delete 1.99 and insert 2.11. On line 11, delete 1.74 and insert 1.99. On line 12, delete 1.50 and insert 1.74. On line 13, delete 1.26 and insert 1.50. On line 14, delete 1.02 and insert 1.26. On line 15, delete 0.78 and insert 1.02. On line 16, delete 0.45 and insert 0.78. On line 17, delete 0.30 and insert 0.54. And delete the and. On line 11, after 2023, delete and subsequent years 0.06% and insert comma 0.30% semicolon and. A new line 12 for 2024 and subsequent years, comma 0.06% period.
Senator Bach, would you like to make that amendment to your amendment?
That council's oral amendment becomes my oral amendment to the A29.
Senator Marty,
could you repeat that?
Other questions or comments on the amended A29 amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
I'll do that again because I did hit the gavel before folks registered their vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The amendment is adopted, and Senator Buck, you didn't even need Senator Rust's help on that. Other
I should have offered the one on the implicit price deflator.
Yeah. All right. Members, I mentioned before the reserve and cash flow fund amendment. I understand it's the practice of this committee to address that in the total balanced budget by adopting the language into law that will transfer funds from these accounts in order to reach the targets. And so the amendment drafted as the 0024 amendment is one that I would offer at this time.
Thank you. Cancel.
Thanks.
Any questions or comments about the 0024 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Pogamiller.
What does that leave in the...
Pardon me?
What does that leave in the cash flow account and the budget reserve then?
I understand from Senator Roebling, Senator Pogamiller, this would leave $50 million in the cash flow account. 50 million.
Oh, Madam Chair, is that enough?
Senator Bach.
We've been carrying 350 there, I think, haven't we?
Senator Bach, I understand it's not the first time that the cash flow account has gotten to that level or even below, and this is what Senator Roebling is recommending in order to reach all of the budget targets that she's been managing, and so we're accommodating her goals for the targets and accomplishing them, and I would appreciate, as I know Senator Roebling would, your support of this amendment.
Well, Madam Chair, could we hear from MMB if the state's going to have enough money to pay its bills every day of the month?
Senator Bach, they're meeting in finance right now, and so I believe that MMB is probably up there. Now, I don't know that they'll be in all afternoon. We can come back to this and ask them to stop down. I just wanted to have this in front of you so you would have the same information, and then maybe when they're ready, they can come down, testify, and then we can act on it.
I know, Madam Chair, previously we've had discussions about it. Seems like $350 million is the number that they need, because the way money comes in and goes out at different dates during the month, so the state can pay its bills in a timely way. I don't think any of us want to put the state in a situation where we have to short-term borrow for cash flow purposes. I just want to make sure we don't do that.
Senator Bach, I agree. I do want to point out she did provide me a little bit of history that the cash flow account was zero in previous years, 2002, 2003, and 2004. At other times, it has had that balance that you're talking about, the $350,000. Since 2010, million. It's been 266,000. I said 266,000. Right. Thank you. 266 million. Senator Pogomiller.
We actually spent quite a bit of time on this during the last year or two. Previous administration jointly worked very hard to keep the number up to where in the range Senator Bach is talking about. So I think this sets a precedent that I don't think the previous administration thought was very wise.
Senator Pogel, just so you know, the record's having a hard time picking you up, sitting
well,
so far from your microphone.
I didn't want to impose myself on anybody.
Thank you,
Senator Pogel. We have to hear from MMB on this. I mean, we are setting up a budget to pass on the floor of the Senate where the state has no cash flow account, no budget reserve. At least that's the way it looks to me. I mean, I have to hear from MMB how they feel about that.
Senator Bach, we'll encourage them to come when they're done up in finance. And I'm finding that there is little business, unless others are holding back amendments that I see piled up here at the desk. Senator Chamberlain, I'm just trying to get through the business here on a timely basis, and we'll ask them to come down when they're done. Senator Chamberlain.
Madam Chair, can we go back to the original A7, but now Council's drafted A32.
Senator Chamberlain, first let me withdraw the 0024 at this time, and we'll bring it back later. And you have the A32, is it, Senator Chamberlain?
Yes.
Senator Chamberlain offers the A32. Would you like to explain the amendment, Senator Chamberlain, or would you like Council to do that?
Council, I can explain it.
All right, Senator.
Well, it was the original A7 amendment that we withdrew.
It's been several.
And it's the essential LGA connected to essential services only. It defines essential what it can be used for and what essential services are. And what we did was Council drafted some language that would hopefully deal with any excesses in the account. You know, if we're just going to limit it to essential services, it has to be they have to have some accountability in there. But I believe what Senator Howe brought this forward, and what it does is it gets closer to the original intent of LGA to provide those essential services to local communities that are in need.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. Ms. Zoff, can you just describe how the amendment has been changed to address the question about what happens when there is LGA that might be provided to a city over and above what might be required for essential services?
Madam Chair, the new language for this amendment begins on line 28, and it provides that if the state auditor finds, when the state auditor reviews the city expenditures, that the total of the expenditures that would qualify as essential services under the definition of this section are less than the aid that was certified for that year, the city's aid will be reduced in a subsequent year by the amount by which the city's total expenditures are less than its qualifying expenditures.
Thank you. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Chamberlain. I understand this is not your original initiative, but I do need to correct the statement that the original intent of LGA was closer to essential services. That was not the original intent at all. I would recommend that you go back and read the Department of Revenue's history of LGA briefing that they have out. It's very clear the original intent of LGA was for property tax relief. Legislators were concerned about the level of property taxes across the state. They thought that there was bringing inequity to the services that were being provided to citizens. And so the state moved forward with a local government aid, but it had nothing to do with essential services. But, you know, this is a major, major change in LGA. And we've had a fair amount of discussion today about bills and were their bills drafted and have they been introduced. This change deserves a committee hearing. And I don't think there's been a bill drafted on this. Members, I would recommend that we not adopt the A32 amendment, introduce a bill, and let's have a hearing on it. But I would recommend not adopting this major change to the LGA formula.
Questions or comments? Senator Chamberlain, I would believe that there are folks here that might like to testify
Madam
about
Chairman,
this amendment. Senator Senjum.
And I have some questions on this, too, but one of those, for instance, is, and I may need some help from counsel on this, but for instance, line 121, public defenders, at least the people, are funded by the state of Minnesota, I believe. Now, I don't know about the office space, but is that a, my question is obviously, is that an appropriate entry for this list?
Senator Sundrum, I think it's intended to be inclusive rather than exclusive. I think the intention is any expense that might be related to those things on this list would be included towards the calculation of essential services. Beyond that, Ms. Zoff, is there additional information you can provide, Senator Sundrum?
Madam Chair, Senator Sundrum, I'm afraid not. I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know the extent to which a local government city would incur expenses for that purpose, but I think this was intended to say that if they did, that that would be considered an essential service and consequently would be a legitimate expenditure of LGA.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Chamberlain, I appreciate you bringing this forward, but I would have to agree with Senator Skoy. This is a major change, and this you can go down each one. Community corrections departments, that's a whole hornet's nest right there. And this deserves a real thorough vetting through. I happen to be intrigued by the essential services discussion, but this is not the time or place to make this major change.
Other members' questions? Senator Sundrum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know, it sounds like Senator Chamberlain is probably carrying Senator Howe's bill here, but just for purpose of discussion, maybe with counsel, and maybe just to speak to an example, for instance, my city, back when I was on the city council, police and fire were, at that point, a little over $24 million a year, as I recall. Local government aid, so I assume it's more now, but the local government aid is at about $5 million. So how does the auditor, I mean, how does the city say, we put our $5 million towards police and fire, so we're compliant? I mean, is there a statement, or is there just, I mean, we don't have green dollars and red dollars. Maybe the state does have red dollars, I don't know. But I'm just trying to operationally think how this would work. Especially where essential service expenses would exceed LGA payments. Ms. Zoff, you may not know either.
Madam Chair, Senator Sundrum, I know the state auditor does review city expenditures in various categories, so I'm not completely familiar with that process, unfortunately, but the intent of this new paragraph is to provide some kind of oversight for whether or not a city was actually complying with this requirement, and it would be up to the auditor to determine whether or not the expenditures as reported by the city first of all met these fit within these categories, and then if that the aggregate of those expenditures, if that was less than the amount of local government aid that the city received, there would be a deduction of future aids paid to the city.
Okay. Senator Chamberlain, guidance here?
Madam Chair, I'm given the consensus here. I can follow up with Senator Howe, but I'm willing to withdraw the amendment for now.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. And when he returns, Senator Howe will be given a hearing if he'd like to pursue this further. And I think that's the way we should head here. So I appreciate that, Senator Chamberlain. Are there any other amendments on Senate File 27? Otherwise, we will Finance is still meeting, so maybe we should recess until they're done. Are they still meeting?
I'm not tracking.
Are folks comfortable with the recess to the call of the chair until Finance has adjourned? Well, Senator Rosen?
Does that mean there's no more amendments or no?
Well, that's what I'm believing, Senator Rosen. Senator Michelle.
Madam Chair, can't one of them just come down here and talk to us for 30 seconds?
Well, we can ask Senator Rust.
I'll go and ask if you
Senator Rust.
She's looking.
Madam Chair, she's kind of all service. All
she's been so darn successful. I know.
All those that would like to send Senator Rust as our messenger up to the Finance Committee to speak on our behalf, Senator Rust, you are empowered. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposing, no. Senator Rust, you're now authorized.
Where are they?
123, Senator Rust.
You want to recess?
Yeah, we'll recess until Senator Rust comes back with forces.